Good afternoon, everyone. It's Maybelline, broadcasting from Foothill College. It's KFJC, Los Altos Hills. It's Big Sunday. 12 hours of surf and related musics. We're kind of focusing on early stuff right now. Some of the originators of surf will be coming up. And some of the instigators of previous years, we've already listened to, like Link Wray, Bo Diddley, Eddie Cochran, Wayne Eddy, those people. And we were just listening to the Viceroys, some early stuff from them. A lot of sax on those songs. That was Tiger Shark and Mary Ann. The Bel-Airs did the Three Blind Mice, Make It. Coming off their record called Origins of Surf Music, 60 to 63. So that was right about the time. 60, about, you know, the beginnings, and 63 around the heyday and kind of, you know, falling, not out of popularity, but a little dwaning of popularity in around 65 for a bunch of different reasons. But the Bel-Airs were in there with The Crawler and one of the first surf releases, Mr. Moto. We also heard the Safaris in there doing Jack the Ripper, a Link Wray tune, coming from the Lost Legends of Surf Volume 2. Well, I think we'll do a little bit more, get more into the surf now. The Shantays were like five kids out of high school, and they had a big instrumental surf hit with Pipeline, which has become a classic. A lot of people have covered it, so we will take a listen to the original version of Pipeline here on KFJC. Oh, it's Les Paul playing in the background right now. It's KFJC. Thank you.
three ways, man, is he hard to catch. And walking the nose, and when the meet was over, the trophy was Joe's.
Surfer Joe, now look at him go. Surfer, surfer, surfer Joe, go man, go. Oh, 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 surfer Joe. Okay, let's go.
Sam's Marines today. They stationed him at Pendleton, not far away. They cut off his big blonde locks, I'm told, and when he went on maneuvers, Joe caught cold.
Surfer Joe,
oh,
Welcome to KFJC. It's Big Sunday here, 12 hours of surf music. I'm your hostess, Maybelline, from noon till 3 p.m. We've got some special appearances coming up. Poyo de Mar will be playing live from the pit sometime around 4 o'clock. And then later on this evening, the Tomorrow Men will grace the airwaves. Paxi Miana is going to be here, as will Cousin Mary and Sluggo. So lots of surf to be had. You know, if you'd like to experience some surf live, I've got tickets to go see Noki Edwards. It's KFJC co-presents. It's going to be happening at the Rickshaw Stop next Friday night, the 21st of May. Show starts around 8 o'clock. You do have to be 21, so when I give those away, just remember that. They're going to be playing along with Ventures Mania, which is Deke Dickerson and the Echophonics. Poyo de Mar will be there, as will the Miniskirt Mob Go-Go Dancers. All right. Prepare yourselves for that. We'll get into the Ventures in a little bit, and I'll give those tickets away once we start listening to Noki and the boys. But in that last set, we heard the Sentinels doing Sunset Beach. And also in there, Eddie and the Showman with Mr. Rebel. Eddie, formerly of the Bel Airs, went on to form Eddie and the Showman and a couple other offshoot bands. The Safaris did Surfer Joe and Teen Beat. Surfer Joe probably talking about the Vietnam War. And Pipeline was by those young kids known as the Shantays, coming out of high school and creating a classic. I mean, so many people cover Pipeline. That was off a Rhino Records hit, Rhino Records release called Surfin' Hits. And Les Paul, fabulous guitarist, and I Really Don't Want to Know, off the multi-tracking release. And of course, the Surfmeister is here. He's parked himself right in front of me. He cannot be ignored. We'll talk to you in a little bit, okay? Yeah, Mr. Phil Dirt is here. He's been here all day. He was here for the Hawkwind special. Now, we'll be talking about his specialty, surf music, in a little bit. He can answer some questions I've got about the origins of surf and the difference between, like, South Bay surf and that of Orange County and all that good stuff. So there are a lot of, like, sub-genres of surf music. I mean, the two counties I just talked about, as well as, like, hot rod music, which is kind of a little related to surf and offshoot of that, the instrumental versus the pop vocals. And so we'll be getting into a lot of that. I don't know if we'll do much of the pop vocals, but we'll see. So anyways, Phil Dirt will be coming up in a little bit, as will tickets for Noki Edwards and more surf sounds, courtesy of KFJC and Maybelline. So KFJC is your source for sound.
There's a reason it's called the Wave of the West.
You know, I've already gone there. Phil Dirt, thank you very much.
I'll bet. Sorry,
that wasn't lost on me. Hey, so we have Surfmeister Phil Dirt here with us.
So pleased to be here with Maybelline.
Thank you very much.
I haven't seen you in a long time.
I know. I know. It's good to see you.
Yeah.
You've been busy. Hey.
Not me.
So, yeah. So, before I forget, we just heard from Dick Dale, and we heard Riders in the Sky, and a little ditty called King of the Surf Guitar, which, as I said, I wasn't going to play any vocal stuff, and, of course, what do we play but the vocal stuff? Or not we, but me. Anyways, so, settle a little controversy here. I've been reading a lot about Dick Dale. Did he actually know how to surf, or did he not know how to surf?
Well, you can't prove a negative. But things that I've had told to me by people who were quote-unquote there at the time, such as, you know, when the picture on the cover of his first album, Surfer's Choice. You know,
right, right.
Yeah. Well, technically, I suppose you could say he surfed, because after almost an entire day, he got up. And as far as I know from testimony, that's the only time he ever did.
I heard some of his covers were shot in a pool.
Well, some of them were.
Okay.
But that one actually shows him on a surfboard, and he actually did. Tom Starr said that he was there and thought it was really funny. And
that kind of reminds me of, like, the Marty Robbins record covers,
yeah,
where he's, you know, the gunslinger, but he's,
yeah,
out in the middle of the desert with a new black suit, and there's,
yeah,
not a speck of dust on him.
Well, you know, the thing about surf music is that it really didn't have anything to do with surfing, except that surfers adopted it, and that,
right,
that forced the imagery, and there were, the vast majority of bands didn't live anywhere near anything that looked like water, you know?
Right. Well, I was reading, I think it was the Shantaes, where one of the brothers was a surfer.
Yeah.
And the guy woke up kind of thinking about a surf song. But, I mean, mostly it was just to emulate the sound of the waves and that.
By the time they came along, the double-picking staccato style was already there, and that kind of emulates that all by itself. Pipeline, their classic. You know, everybody's covered that song. You played it a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
it was originally called Magnum 44 and Liberty's Whip. Tell you how surfy it was until they changed the title. So, in the studio, I think.
Yeah, really. Let's change the title and call it a surf tune.
Yeah,
okay.
What the heck? Oh, there's lots of songs like that.
Well, you know? you discuss that in a lot of your articles. Is it really,
yeah,
a surf tune if you take it from, if you rearrange something by an artist who isn't classically surf?
Yeah, you know, it's to define what surf is at the end of the day, it's what you think it is, because it's really hard to write a definition that doesn't exclude things that absolutely are. Like, virtually any definition you write will exclude almost all of the Bel Air stuff, and yet they were the very first surf band in terms of recorded material.
You know? We played that Mr. Moto.
Yeah, yeah, that was recorded in May of 1960. So as a demo, but the commercial recording was April or May of 1961. And that's 4 or 5 months before Dick Dale recorded Let's Go Trippin'. So, you know, they were there. And Dick Dale was still doing Hank Williams.
That's right. He was a big influence. Hank Williams was a big influence on Dick Dale.
Yeah, he liked the whine, as he said.
But from what you say, Dick Dale's a terrible singer.
Well, anybody who's listened to any of his stuff, I mean, Dick will never admit it, but, you know, the most skin-crawling thing you can ever hear is Dick Dale singing Fever. Technically he can sing, but it's just, he doesn't have a good voice, and it just never really sounds like you want to come back. The only vocal of his that I actually like in sort of a sick, twisted way is Mr. Peppermint Man. There's just something wrong with it in a delightful kind of way, you know?
Now, is Dick Dale is the one who's left-handed who plays the right-handed,
yeah,
guitar, right?
Yeah.
And he just turns it upside down?
Right, without restringing.
Right. So, I don't play guitar, but that's incredibly difficult, correct?
Well, it means you rewrite everything. Everything is upside down, and it causes restructuring of the chords and all kinds of things. And if you want a chord to sound the same, you have to pull it instead of push it. There are a number of players that were in that circumstance, but he's certainly the most famous. Jimi Hendrix is another one, yeah.
Well, Jimi Hendrix is also, if you read sort of the description of surf music, it's like anything you can surf to, and in parentheses is Jimi Hendrix. So there you go. There's that connection.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the era in the later 60s, you know, the Rolling Stones' Satisfaction was thought of that way because the surfers loved it. Well, okay, but that's not surf music, you know. So, again, it's what you think it is, I guess.
Okay, so we're going to get back to, we're listening to some classic surf guitar right now. We'll get back to some more music, and we'll talk to you more in a bit.
All right.
Got some other questions for you.
Okay.
So glad you're
pyramids.
Here. Yeah. Yeah. One of the, was this one of the kind of the last, or one of the most professional recordings, or kind of one of the last recordings in '65?
Yeah, it's late in the period, but it's a ways from the last.
Okay.
It's certainly well produced, however, totally by amateurs. So,
hey,
you know,
look who's talking here.
Yeah, that's right.
Me, not you.
No.
Okay, Mr. Phil Dirt, we'll talk to you in a minute. Thanks for joining us today, by the way.
Sure, my pleasure.
Okay, so it's Maybelline, and you're listening to Big Sunday. Mr. Phil Dirt joining us. We're happy to have him here. We're listening to some surf guitars right now here on KFJC. Stay tuned. Noki Edwards tickets coming up in a little bit.
Distinguished judges in our panel down below. One of the judges is, well, two of the judges are from the Advertiser and the Bulletin, Mr. Bert Storm and Mr. Jack Williams. Third judge is the City Council President, Masato Doi. Let's hear it for our judges. For the benefit of anybody who would like to have something to remember, you out there are part of a new attendance record for the Waikiki Shell tonight. We have extra microphones beaming out to the street to the 2,000 people that are out there, listening out there. So hello out in the street. Everybody yell hello. Hi. The Royal Victors, Pai Muki. We'll be right back.
Richie Valens here on KFJC doing Fast Freight, a request by a listener, not specifically surf Richie Valens, but a big influence. A lot of the kids listening to Richie Valens, who went on to form their surf bands, and that's pretty much the way the Beach Boys got their notoriety or came into the public eye. They played at a memorial service for Richie Valens after he and the Big Bopper died in the plane crash. And so Fast Freight from Richie Valens. Also, Vaqueros did Vagabond Fever, and we heard High Surf from the Royal Victors off the Waikiki Surf Battle. Well, we've got Phil Durden with us this afternoon. I'm so used to doing my own time slot.
Habits.
So tell us about the difference between the Orange County surf scene versus the South Bay stuff. Is it just all based on reverb, or was there a rivalry thing going on?
Well, yeah. Generally speaking, it was reverb versus not. But of course, that's not 100%. It's maybe 60 or 70%. But the South Bay sound, the Bel Airs were central court there, and Tom Starr and the Galaxies and other bands all sounded a lot like the Bel Airs. They were the heroes. Whereas the Orange County sound was Eddie and the Showmen and Dick Dale and that kind of stuff. Yeah, so it was much heavier.
Well, that's funny because Eddie and the Showmen, that Eddie was with the Bel Airs. So
well, that's what caused the breakup. Eddie wanted to use lots of reverb and Paul didn't.
Oh, okay.
So away Eddie went.
Okay. How did you first get involved in surf music?
As a kid, I had always much favored the instrumental rock and roll stuff over the vocals anyway, Johnny and the Hurricanes and that sort of thing. And I was very interested in radio. I DX'd at night listening to L.A. and Chicago and so forth. And one day on KSTN in Stockton, actually, I don't even remember the instrumental I heard, but it was a surf instrumental. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. And then KFWB and KRLA started playing that stuff, and I was just hooked from that moment forward. There wasn't a lot of it on the airwaves up here in the Bay Area. And I made a deal with a guy who owned a little record shop in Willow Glen. I would ride my bicycle every Saturday from Cupertino.
Aww. Yeah. Oh, how cute.
And whatever.
With your quarter for the movies, too.
It's a little bit like that, yeah. The deal was anything he got from the distributors, if he would hold one aside, if it was a surf instrumental, I would buy it. And so, that's how I came by it, because it just wasn't in the stores either, a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, is that because it's so regional? I mean, really, Southern California sound that wasn't all that popular?
Yes and no. I mean, it was very popular in Minneapolis and Sacramento and Sioux Falls and places like that. The Bay Area, there were actually a lot of surf bands that played dances and stuff and issued records. They just didn't get into the record stores. They just sold them at the dances. Mm-hmm. And if you weren't 18, you would never see any of those bands and never get any of that stuff, and I wasn't. So, I had to do what I had to do.
I guess the Beach Boys kind of became really popular because their dad was in the music business, and
yeah.
So had that kind of an in for them.
Well, you can always argue that about the music business. It's much more who
right.
you know and who
oh,
you
absolutely.
Pay than it is about anything else. But, their father was in the business, and they were aspiring vocal harmony pop singers. I mean, they loved the Four Freshmen and that sort of thing. You can hear it in what they do. Mm-hmm. And they were very good at doing those kinds of things. And the pop music business was beginning to generate songs about surfing, because surfing as a teenage lifestyle was getting really big. So that just kind of came together at the same time. It's the same reason why Jan and Dean stopped doing, teeny bop music and started doing surf pop.
Oh, I was going to say, and because of the auto accident, too.
Well, yeah, there's an interesting story there I can't tell on the air, but yeah.
Oh, come on.
Well,
tell us.
You know the song Dead Man's Curve?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the entire uncut take of that, the two instrumental backings are actually were done in separate sessions, and so they're separated on the master tape that the vocals were overdone on, and there's space in between. And he who got in the accident was heard yelling in between those sets, "Oh, bleep, I'm being burned by the fire." And months later, that's exactly what happened to him. So it's kind of spooky and creepy, but You know, that's just kind of the way it is, I guess. But lots of things like that happened. The music as it evolved came from many, many cauldrons, and many of them were studio production and studio creations. Even some of the great surf instrumentals were studio creations, bands that never actually played and toured anywhere. You know, Sandy Nelson's Casbah is one of the god songs of surf music, and that's Richie Podler and Sandy Nelson, both of whom were primarily studio creatures. So, you know, it's not hard to imagine that the pop writers would go off and write songs about surfing and make money off of it and whatever. But guys like the Beach Boys and Jan and Dean would do a lot of touring, and over time they got to be very, very tight and very good, and they attracted a whole lot of people to their product, you know, made lots of money, sang to lots of people, are still loved and endeared and all that stuff. And, you know, oddly enough, I have a lot of respect for a lot of what they did. It's just that my definition of surf music is voiceless. So
you're a purist at heart.
I'm a purist at heart, that's right.
Or that could probably go either way, according to you and your answers.
Of course it is. Of course.
So, well, let's, you know what? Since we were talking about Dead Man's Curve, let's listen to some vocals that with Jan and Dean doing Dead Man's Curve with Maybelline, Phil Dirt, and KFJC.
Yeah. Yeah.